Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is the BizSpark Show. We took about a week vacation. I was off doing some other things in different parts of the world, and now I'm back. And if you're looking at the screen now, in addition to my messy hair, you see behind me kind of a new environment. So we're in a different building in Microsoft, and behind me is the 3D printer. We have the privilege today of talking to Aaron Mester, who is the co-founder of Dream It Alive. And DreamItAlive.com is a .NET-based startup that's in the BizSpark program and is focused on helping you enable and empower your dreams so that you can reach your goals in life, whether they're financial or, I guess, career-driven. Guys, that's really loud over on my side. I can hear that. I can hear that on this computer, so close that. Sorry. And then I'm going to bring up Aaron on the screen. Here's Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Doug.
Hi. Welcome to the BizSpark Show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It's a great pleasure to have you. You guys are a BizSpark member team. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you were before this, and then tell us what your duties are at Dream It Alive. And then we're going to show a little video about what Dream It Alive does.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I have a technology background, so I got my degree in computer science in college, and I worked at a bunch of corporations for a while, and then I kind of got into the startup scene. And I had a previous startup that I worked at, and once I got the startup bug, I kind of was doing the thing where you're kind of half in the corporation for a while and half in the startup. But then once I got the startup bug, I pretty much couldn't, I couldn't leave. So I ended up I got a lot of experience in that one, and then the opportunity for Dream It Alive came up, and I basically jumped into Dream It Alive, and I've been doing that ever since. So, okay.
And then, what do you do at Dream It Alive? Are you the CTO of this program, and you're the one with basically the technical background?
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely acting as the CTO. I'm responsible for all of our technology and everything. So,
got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So I'm going to do a real big favor for the audience at home, and I'm going to bring up a video of what Dream It Alive is, and we're going to watch that. And then I'd love to show people my dream board, and then maybe you can kind of walk us through, once we've done that, what we're seeing once we bring that screen up. So let's just watch this little video here. It's a nice little advertisement for what DreamItAlive.com is meant to do.
This is Selena. She works hard, socializes online, is always on the go, constantly worries about the future, lacks direction, and is just not too sure about her purpose in life. She just wants to be happy. Just like you, she has dreams and goals, but is frustrated on where to start. Dream It Alive has created the perfect solution to help Selena. Dream It Alive lets you create your very own virtual dream board to help you discover your dreams and gives you the tools to make them a reality. People like Oprah, Michael Phelps, Will Smith, and Wayne Dyer all believe in the power of visualizing dreams. Experts and best-selling books such as The Secret have promoted and validated the use of dream boards to bring your dreams to life. Creating your dream board is simple, easy, and fun. You have the option to share your dreams with family, friends, and dreamers like you. Or you can just keep them private. Get involved in Dream It Alive's thriving community. Connect with like-minded dreamers, share suggestions and ideas, receive expert advice, and much more. Did I mention you could get monetary support to fund your dreams? Wondered what happened to Selena? Selena visualized her dream car daily with beliefs and emotions, didn't give up, and took inspired action, allowing her dream of owning a new car to come true.
Hi, I'm Selena, and here's my new car.
You like the beep at the end?
If there is a desire, there is a way. You are the creator of your reality. DreamItAlive.com.
So that's cool. So what are we looking at here, basically? I mean, what's the purpose of putting what it looks to me like is just having self-affirmation in the cloud? I mean, you guys mentioned The Secret. You mentioned people like Michael Phelps and other people who have used sort of visualization. Why put it in the cloud? Why now? And what is it meant to do for people?
Yeah, well, let me tell you a little bit about, let me explain a little bit more about what Dream It Alive is and kind of the challenges and the problems that it's trying to solve.
Sure.
I mean, in the simplest form, it's basically an online community that empowers people to achieve their goals and dreams and to live to their highest potential. And if you think about it, there's almost 7 billion people on the planet, and I don't think that the majority of them are living the life of their dreams. So the world needs Dream It Alive. And the reasons why they're not living the life of their dreams is because it's actually really challenging to live your dream life. There's a lot of problems and obstacles and challenges. One of the most basic one is that it's kind of surprising, but people don't really know what it is that they want. A lot of times when you ask people, like, what is it that you want, they'll list off things that they don't want. Like, well, I don't want debt. I don't want to get divorced. I don't want cancer. You know, all of the negative things. But they don't really know what it is that's going to make them happy in life. And that's what's going to bring them purpose and meaning and fill their lives with joy. You know, that's the whole thing that life is about. There's actually even a Mark Twain had a good quote. He said, I can teach anybody how to get anything they want out of life. The trouble is I can't find anybody who knows what it is that they want.
Right.
So even Twain kind of recognized that. And then another issue.
So I just want to jump in. Let me ask. So is putting this on a kind of technology platform y'all's way of kind of making that easier for people to access that? And I mean, if we take a really quick look at the actual website, I can pull up my dream board that I started with my dog Bailey as my avatar. And I think what I'm looking at here, to walk me through what I'm looking at. This is my actual profile.
Okay. Well, I can't see what
you can't see.
Oh,
okay. So I'm looking at this, and basically I guess we haven't figured out how to show you my screen as well, unless you're looking at the actual live stream. So you set up a dream board, and basically what allows you to do is it allows you to pin photography. The audience at home is able to see this, so you don't have to worry about that. You can pin up this your dreams in the form of images on a dream board, and people can look at that. You can share it to other people. You can put it into an activity stream. And for some of these, as you saw also in the video, I guess if someone has a kind of business goal that they'd like to have funded, you all are implementing a kind of system where you can enable the crowd to fund that person's business goal. So essentially, those are all the pieces of it, right? It's showing visualizing what you want to do, showing it to the public, getting reinforcement from the public, but also potentially also getting money, right? And I guess the question is, how do you market something like this? I mean, you're kind of jumping into a space that's like, I don't know how much money the Secret book series has gotten, but it's pretty much cornered by that book series, right? And also people like motivational speakers like Oprah, for example, or what's the guy's name, Randy? Who's the guy who's the famous... Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just said Tony Robbins, maybe.
Robbins is who I'm thinking about. So why the technology platform then? What's the reason for that?
Oh, well, you actually did tap into probably our initial primary market, and that's like the personal growth market. It actually is a very large market. The Secret was seen by over, I think, 22 million people. And there's, all the major people from The Secret, Jack Canfield, and Oprah, and all the other ones, like you mentioned, have been, that's all been just growing since then. Mm-hmm. And actually, dream boards themselves are getting more and more mainstream. There's actually, like, a lot of education, like, schools are using them, they're promoting them to students, and they're actually really popular with salespeople, too, because people that are working on commission and other things, it helps to motivate them to write, to have all of their dreams listed out. So they're already kind of proliferating through the corporations too.
Sure. So maybe there's another way of asking this question, which is, how are you marketing this to people? Are you saying to people that this dreamitalive.com site or these dream boards is just an easier way to implement that visualization, or is it more about being able to connect to people who also share those same goals or visions?
Well, it's definitely both. I mean, the thing is that it's a social community too. So it's actually very similar to something like a Facebook too, but it's really all about uplifting and positivity. So if you take only the positive aspects out of Facebook and you put it all into one platform, it's Dream Alive. The whole purpose is to uplift you and to help you to reach your highest potential and to live your goals and dreams. So we're using the social networking features to help you do that, because we're building a whole community. Because that's a big problem. Like, I didn't really get to talk about all the other challenges and stuff that people have, but the environment that you're in really impacts you and your ability to reach your goals and dreams, because you actually have, I mean, this is maybe too much to get in, to get into on the interview, but your subconscious mind is actually sabotaging you in a lot of cases. You have disempowering beliefs, self-imposed limitations, and these fears. So that is actually a really big challenge that keeps people from achieving their dreams. So having a whole community that's built around that, like, we're seeing it even now on our platform where people are inspiring each other. You know, they're coming in and, like, writing status updates about how, like, what they're doing to make their dreams come alive.
Yeah.
And when they're achieving their dreams. And so you see other people doing it, and it inspires you. It's all about, you know, inspiration. And so it is, that's the self-help aspect of it, because that's what they're all about. So we're kind of bringing that into the, in with the technology, as you were kind of saying.
Sure. And but you obviously, guys, as a team, I guess, in a technical way, you decided that you really had to control the entire platform, right? So you mentioned, you know, it's kind of taking some of those Facebook features and putting them into your own platform. Do you find that that kind of walled approach is the kind of way that helps reinforce people meeting their goals? It's like, when you come to the Dream It Alive platform, people can focus just on that thing, and it sort of like positively reinforces people in kind of this positive feedback loop over and over again. Can you talk a little bit about why you chose to build your own platform for this rather than to have it kind of like as an app that maybe might be featured in Facebook or another social platform or on just on a phone somewhere?
Oh, well, we are actually going to be having like an app that goes along with the website.
Mm-hmm.
And any other technology that makes sense for us, we'll be adding too. But we really wanted to have our own community. We wanted, because we want to build up that environment where people are coming. We wanted them to feel like they're coming into a place where it's kind of like a safe haven, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, where so part of like giving that feeling, we felt, was having our own platform. Like, if you're inside of Facebook, it's like a different experience because you're still in Facebook.
Yeah.
But when you're on this own platform, it feels like, oh, this whole community, because it's really about the community, because we wanted, you feel like that whole community, you're a part of it, and you're connected to it, and you come in, and it's like, oh, this is different from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt like that was kind of essential to have our own thing. I mean, I could see some reason, we did actually talk about maybe having it as part of Facebook or some other options too, but we thought that was, for what we wanted to build. And, I mean, we ultimately want Dream It Alive to be a massive platform where mm-hmm. hundreds of millions of people are on it, because everybody has goals and dreams,
yep.
you know, and everybody has these issues. And we can see it. It's just, it is. It's a positive, it's like a positive Facebook, maybe.
Sure.
Something like that. So.
But it's even, you know, like, let's like look at the timeline for how you guys should be, are looking at developing, right? So you're in the very early stages right now. You're getting ready to go through a big campaign for some user acquisition, and you're going to scale up and get more people on the platform. You're already thinking, I can hear you now, massive, massive scale. It's a massive community for being happy. So what happens down the line in terms of what kinds of people are you thinking of, or what kinds of companies are you thinking about partnering with? Would this be an idea where you would kind of own or be the stakeholder in how people visualize their happiness, and then other companies could tap into this as a kind of marketing channel or a kind of user acquisition channel for themselves?
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible. I mean, we're right now looking at aligning ourselves with, or partnering with people that we feel like are in alignment with us. So we're kind of, I think we're kind of using the 80-20 rule, you know, Pareto's mm-hmm. principle about focusing
well,
in.
Why don't you explain that for people who might be listening for the, or hearing that for the first time, the 80-20.
Oh, sure. Well, we actually end up applying this to a lot of things that we do, I feel like, because it's basically the idea that, well, Pareto studied the phenomenon in nature that 20%, in a lot of cases, 20% of what you're doing ends up giving you 80% of your results. I think mm-hmm. that's what it is. And so the smart thing to do is to focus in on the 20% where you're getting like the biggest bang for your buck and not spend all of your time and effort on the 80%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like if a salesperson were to maybe, like, let's say they have to knock on 100 doors and 80% of them are, you know, they don't want it, but the 20% do, well, figure out how to target that 20% rather than wasting your time, like, with all the other 80% that's not doing anything for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and also even with your current customers, like, a lot of people find that the current customers are, like, the loyal customers that are buying, you know, they're the ones that are making all their money, and then maybe the 80% are, like, draining their resources and stuff. So sure. There's a lot of different ways to apply that. For us, we try and focus in on the people that we feel like are in alignment with us. Like, we actually have a kind of a saying, when I asked Ash, like, oh, how did it go with, like, that meeting? And if he says, oh, I had them at Dream, you know, then we know, we're like, okay.
Yeah, good person to talk to, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I had them at Dream. We're like, oh, they get it. They're, like, in alignment with us. And they're, so it makes everything so much smoother, too, when we go, when we do it that way, because then we're only working with people that have those things in common where we're, it's like leveraging. You know, you get to leverage.
And let's talk about leveraging, because maybe another way around this question is to ask, you're kind of in a lean mode right now. You're not trying to do every single thing that the business requires you to do, but you're trying to get the MVP out the door. It's pretty much out the door now because it's you know, I can put up my dream board now. Right. How are you working with Microsoft, for example, to leverage what Microsoft can give you to help push that lean version of what you're doing to get those things that you're after, which sounds to me like working with the right partners who can give you what you need, whether it's, I don't know, it may be funding or maybe it's materiel of some sort, and also finding those customers who are going to be really avid users. Where do you find your work with BizSpark has helped with that, in terms of technology or even in terms of sort of the marketing or the community aspect?
Yeah, well, BizSpark has been really helpful for us, actually, just to, in terms of getting our technology up and off running fast. That was kind of one of our primary concerns when picking the technology, was being able to, because time to market, you know, when you're starting up is critical. So,
critical, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did that work? How did that work exactly? Like, how fast were you able to actually get up on an Azure, on Azure, for example, and get things going?
Well, we actually switched to Azure.
Cool.
Just probably a month or two months ago.
From AWS or from?
No, we just had a regular server.
Okay.
Just a physical server. And that was actually a challenging migration, I have to say. Because our code is we integrated it, like, very deeply into our code. Like, we're using a lot of the different features of Azure, and there were some of the things, or quite a few things actually, that had to be upgraded or migrated over to be able to work properly.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual migration took a little bit of time, but I knew that the benefits of it were going to be so worth it that it was worth putting, like, that little time investment into getting the technology up and going.
Sure.
So, because now that we have it, it's great. We're using, because, I mean, one of the primary reasons that we wanted to switch to it was because of the scalability that it provides. And, I mean, it has so many great features. And even now, like, I can get a new tech person up and running within, like, less than half a day because I've got everything on Azure all set up. The dev environment set up. It makes everything very convenient too. And even just to have, like, the different environments that you need, like your production environment and your testing environment, your dev environment, it's just so easy to have it all set up now. So it's like, it was a little bit of a time investment, but now we're definitely, like, reaping the benefits of it.
Is there any advice you would give to a technically minded developer or a founder for a just starting team like yours is, if they wanted to migrate, are there things that they need to be mindful of? You know, when should they reach out to Microsoft for this kind of assistance, or what sort of things that should they go into it preparing for and being watchful for?
Yeah, that is a great question. Well, that is actually another way that Microsoft has really helped us, because we have an evangelist like a Microsoft evangelist that we work with. And then I also reached out to other people within Microsoft. So I have like a caching specialist. I have like an Azure specialist. So various people within Microsoft that I can go to with specific problems, because that was really the issue when I ran into different technological challenges, like just why is this not working on the, with Azure now? Mm-hmm. Is everything like it needed to be modified? Mm-hmm. So I think because that was, I guess, in my case, like I didn't realize all the things that were going to need to be updated. So somebody that is coming in, maybe talking to somebody ahead of time and like figuring out what are all the, I mean, I'm saying that, but at the top, it's also hard because until you actually do something,
yeah.
like you don't realize it's with technology, especially like even like our image cropping broke. It's like, yeah. that, like so many things did not work after, yeah. you know, after doing it. And those, you know, if someone's, you have to take a really, really deep dive into your technology and look at like every little aspect to try and figure out what it is. So yeah. I would say just like pad your time and like realize that you may run into things, and if it's worth it for you at the end, just, you know, yeah. get it done.
But I imagine running a technical team for you right now sounds to me like it's much easier now to run this as you're scaling up than it would be to have your own server. And so it seems easier. Yeah. I mean, sounds like to me you're saying that it's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're saying that as a sort of a CTO, person in charge of all these technical issues, it's much easier for you to guide people to do what they need to do to make the product good for the customer.
Definitely.
Okay. Definitely. That's so super cool. Because I would imagine that most people, as they're getting up a startup, as they're bringing it up, one of the most foreboding things is to think about how do they handle a technical issue like a migration, because at the other end of the migration is a whole bunch of customers who will be using that product. So you got to have a lot of confidence that that's actually going to work and not break. So someone actually want, this might be an interesting question. Someone's saying that it's slow to upload. Is that an issue with a lot of people using the site, or is it, are you guys going through some kind of technical configurations now?
Yeah, it could be an issue with a lot of people running the site. We're also, because we switched to Azure a little bit, like somewhat recently, mm-hmm. we're still, because in order to take full advantage of the performance and the scalability and everything, like we need to change some of our design to really take advantage of Azure. We're actually in the process of doing that right now, but so there's some things that...
So it's a little slow in places because you guys are going through configurations and design changes and stuff.
It's a growing pain kind of a thing.
So, Aaron, let's talk about the bigger picture stuff as we close out the interview. What do you suppose, what advice would you give to a startup in marketing this kind of technology platform? What have you guys found useful as a team to get the message out there? Is it mostly face-to-face discussions with people? Is it like one-on-one discussions about what it is, or is it going to events, or is it going to or creating your own meetups? What has helped you guys grow into people's consciousness as you've built this thing up?
I would say it's, you know, really understanding who your market is and then how to target your market, because mm-hmm. for us, one of the things we're really going to be taking advantage of with this upcoming launch that we have is kind of the partners that we have on board, the people that
sure.
are similar to us that have their own audience, you know, that we can do cross promotions with because that allows you, like, they already have this giant branch, like this giant tree of people out there that you can just tap into and reach. So if you can, those are to me kind of some of the smartest ways that you can market. Like if you can align yourself with other people that already have the audience, and you can, find ways to make that partnership work so that you're both giving and receiving something.
Sure.
And you can tap into, you know, you can spread yourself that way. Or like us with our social community features, we have a lot of potentially viral features.
Mm-hmm.
And also like integrating with Facebook. There's a lot of companies that have really... taken off after they really integrated. Like, think about how like Spotify works.
Yeah,
they had a huge increase in members when they added like their deep Facebook integration into their site. So, you have to be smart about knowing like what it is, like what do you have to offer, and like what can you leverage. It's really like what can you leverage with the limited resources sure. that you have the best.
And are you guys fundraising? Before I ask the next question, are you fundraising currently, or have you raised any money to launch this?
We haven't raised any money currently, and we are looking into fundraising, but we're more focused on building our business right now. So that's mm-hmm. not, I would say that's not the main focus that we have. We're not out there spending tons of time on it, but we're open to opportunities. We want to, again, because we're so into like alignment and being with the right partners, we want to make sure that when it comes to investment too, that we, have the right investors on board too, people that we have a dream again.
Pretty much
that we get involved with. You know, if we have you a dream, we're like, okay, we can, you know, we can work with you. Because if the potential investor doesn't understand like what it is you're doing, or they're just not if it's just not in alignment with them, then it just creates such a hard path when you could instead find the right ones, like find the right fit instead.
So how would you actually classify this business? Because when you talk, and not to focus too much on the investment angle, but when you do talk to potential investment partners, many of them have their own thematic interest, right? They have their own portfolio of interests and their theories about what's going to grow and what's not going to grow. Would you go to them with this type of business and say that it's a lifestyle business, or is it more a social media business or a platform business?
Kind of a cross between both, so yeah. It's kind of, I mean, we're more of a, I tend to think of us as more of like a social network, like if you can understand like a Facebook or a Pinterest, or like I classify us as like something similar to that, mm-hmm. Because that's even our, with our monetization and everything else, like understanding our business, like if you understand those models really well, like you'll understand sure. our business.
Sure.
So.
All right. Well, look, it's been a fascinating interview. I have only there's another thing that we talked about, but it's a little bit off topic, and I'm wondering, it's actually not too much off topic because it has a little bit to do with how you guys were founded. You said to me that one of the interesting things for your team is really helping the growth of gender balanced startups. So maybe we could end on that. What do you mean by a gender-balanced startup, and how does your team sort of mirror that idea, and then how are you helping other people or getting the word out about the necessity of those types of startups?
Oh, well, I mean, I guess I would say that we have a gender-balanced startup because we have a mix as a founding group.
Yeah.
We have a mix of male and female. I mean, we're pretty unusual. We have two female founders and one male founder, and that's pretty rare. But I find that, or I feel like when you have that kind of a balance, that you get more perspectives that way. I think the issue really is to have, or I think the ideal really is to have, to work with people that have a lot of differences from you, that have complementary skills and talents, but that do have different experiences and do have a whole different perspective, because then when you come together and you're problem solving, you're trying to solve challenges, you're coming up with new ideas, and all of these other things that you're doing, you have all these very diverse opinions, and you know, all it just helps to be able to draw from that. And I feel like men and women, that's kind of naturally happens with men and women.
Sure. And do you think that's becoming more important nowadays? Because I've seen this debate actually come up on investor panels. I was in Vancouver over the week. Last week, and there was a VC panel, and every single VC on the panel was a woman. And they ended that panel with two of the VC investors saying that because they're women, they see different business deals than many of their male colleagues do. And I'm just wondering if that may be true also in a startup, if women are seeing the problems differently than the men on the team, how do you actually square those differences together so that they actually reach a solution? What works for your team? Because there's three of you that are in this current founding team?
Yeah.
And two are women and one is a guy, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. How do you get that all together so that it's the right magic and the right mix so you're actually coming up with something productive?
Well, it just... it works really well for us because we all kind of bring in the different ideas and the perspectives, but I think especially having three people is really helpful too, because then you always naturally kind of come up with a solution that either a two against one, or like you all three. We haven't actually had something ever, I don't think, where each of us thought something differently.
Yeah.
It's always been like either we all are kind of agreeing on that, we're all kind of have the same idea or same general thing, and we're kind of just talking about the issues, or if it is something where there's a disagreement, it's a like two people kind of tend to be one way and the other person is the other, and then we hash it out. We have a really amazing partnership, actually. We've never had any issues. We always figure everything out together. We have our own, we're basically living Dream It Alive within our partnership too. The idea of uplifting and the positivity and everything, because we're all about, you know, we're trying to also ourselves come to our highest potential. Like, we're helping our members come to our highest potential, but we're trying to do that ourselves and help to empower each other to do that too.
Well, then let's close out with a question from the audience that I think hits on this. So there's the other part of this, which is, how are you actually going to map these customers' interests in this space? I mean, if you are doing kind of a social networking site or a social platform, this is very much about the graph. Everybody's interested in the graph, the social graph, and what it tells about us. How are you, either on the back end internally or for people, mapping all of this out to make this stuff available outside of just feeds or talking to somebody in the community? Is there sort of an end product to this data where you can deliver this to somebody and be able to show them exactly what this looks like as an ecosystem?
I'm not sure if I'm understanding exactly, but
let me put it this way. When Facebook, when Facebook sort of pushed the open graph and then started doing graph search, right, that became a way for everyone to get some access to this data. So if I'm looking for people who are interested in zoo animals and tomatoes, I can find those people and put them together. There's like an immediate way for me to map that out. Is there something in your product future or in your pipeline where you make that stuff available to people other than just feeds and, oh, these people are interested in relationship goals? And is there a way to make those connections more visible? Is that what's in the product pipeline?
So we have a feature that's, well, we have, it's in a very rudimentary form right now, but we're planning on developing it more, and it's like the dream matching feature.
Yeah.
Where we're planning on connecting you with like-minded dreamers. So it would be a matter of like taking all of that data, all of the different interests and all the different things you think would make you connect or potentially connect. And there could be various connections. Like, maybe you would be a good mentor to somebody else. Maybe you're both have a similar dream and you could kind of cheer each other on. Yeah. Or maybe it might even be a love connection. You know, you never know.
There's, I hope so. God, that would be great for some people, some lonely souls out there who are matching their goals with their love interest. I think that would actually be quite
well. Yeah, because that actually tells you a lot about someone. It's because it's really about where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard this one time. They said it's not your it's your goals that define you, not your successes and your failures. And it's really about where you're heading in life, and it's about the journey. So when you see somebody else's dream board, it's really interesting, actually. I love seeing people's dream boards because you find out so much about that person that you never knew. You know, the past is the past, but we're always able to create our future and create whatever we want. And that's kind of the idea behind Dream It Alive, is you have the power to create your future. And then when you see, like, what is this other person creating, you know, it's it gives you a lot of insight into that person, too.
Got it. Well, look, Aaron, this has been really great. And I hope that I will definitely recommend this from time to time to all the people in the BizSpark. We got about 54,000 companies in the BizSpark program. Happy to introduce this to them. We wish you a great deal of success. And we're really excited to know that you're on Azure and that you're part of the BizSpark program. And if anyone needs to reach you guys, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Probably just on our, if you contact us on Dream It Alive, we have a contact form on there. I think that's probably the best way to reach us.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, and I wish you success, and thank you for spending your time with us on the BizSpark show.
Oh, thank you so much, Doug. It was great talking to you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.